Welcome to Cigar City Radio, Episode 9. I'm your host, Randy Ojeda, and making the magic happen is Jason Solanas.
You know, Randy, I've just been wondering, have you ever had an...
Oh, God, why? It's why?
Because it's fun. This episode of Cigar City Radio was recorded at the Blind Tiger in Ybor City. The Blind Tiger is a 1920s speakeasy-style coffee shop serving coffee, tea, and vegan pastries. With locations in Ybor City and Seminole Heights, check them out at blindtigercafe.com.
Jason, it's the holidays, the season of giving.
I'm glad.
Yeah. You know what we're going to do?
What are we going to do, Randy?
We're going to give.
Oh, what do we have to give?
We're giving away Cigar City Radio stickers right now on our website.
That's right. Stickers.
Stickers. Just go to cigarcitymanagement.com/store. It's absolutely free. Shipping is free. Just hit the order button. Give us your info and we'll send it out. And hey, if you live close enough, we'll even come to your house.
That's not creepy, I promise.
Not at all creepy.
Yeah.
You don't want us coming to your house. Our guest on this episode is Billy Mays III, son of the legendary pitchman Billy Mays, who you might remember from commercials like OxyClean that aired on the Home Shopping Network. Billy Mays III is involved in numerous projects. Most notably, he makes ambient music under the name Infinite Third. He also hosts a sort of musical meditation called Mouth Council, and he works with various other projects as a creative director. It was great to have him on the show. He spoke very candidly about his life and his dad and told us a lot of really awesome stories. This is one of our favorite podcasts, I think. We're definitely very proud of this one and just happy to have him on the show. You can download his work and connect with him at music.infinitethird.com. And you can also check out the digital Billy Mays Museum at billymays.org. So here it is, episode 9. So you go by the name Infinite Third
with your third music. Yeah.
So is that a riff on being the third?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I like, you know, I have these little tattoos. It's like my thing. It's it started off back in like probably 2010 or 2011. I've decided to like, I wanted it to be like some kind of paradox, the name. Like It doesn't make any sense really. Sure. You know, Infinite Third is just, I don't know. But people think there's like a way deeper meaning, like mathematical meaning, and there totally isn't.
Right, so some kind of great. Big statistical
and that's,
thing.
That's what I wanted, though. It's like something that, you know, it's sentimental in a little way, but it also makes no sense at all.
Yeah. So. Is it sentimental? Like, is it?
Yeah, like, I haven't really talked about this in a while, but I still feel the same way. Like, it kind of touches on the whole, like, there's a part of me that feels like infinite, like star stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and then there's a part of me that's just like a measly human with a name and the third. And mm-hmm. I'm just another guy in a line of genes and, you know,
so yeah.
It's the duality of that.
And that makes sense. Cause I mean, yeah, you are, but a man, you know,
I'm but a man,
but you also, I mean, with just having the name Billy Mays, it's like now, you know, your dad's sort of created this legacy that
totally.
Will go on infinitely.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in an episode of South Park.
Yeah.
It doesn't really That's get it, much man. More infinite than that. were you cool with that when he popped up on South Park?
100%.
Yeah. I would be too.
I'm right? a huge yeah. South Park fan. Like since I was, I don't know, I think it came out when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
So I'm a huge fan of South Park, and when that episode aired, I heard about it like the day before.
Yeah.
That hey, the South Park episode this week is like about dead celebrities, and it's like heavily focused on your dad. And
so who told you that? Because like I feel like they probably wrote it that day.
Yeah.
You know,
no, so. I think it was just like a rumor in the mill, you know. And I got a couple texts from whoever. And, you know, at that time I was really active on Twitter because this was within like a month of my dad dying, I think, or maybe wow. maybe 2 months at the most. And there was this whole like public grieving going on. And so I was like really engaged with his fans a lot. Mm-hmm. And I got this influx of followers because like Alyssa Milano was like, go show him some love. He just lost his. So like there was this whole like thing going on. But when I heard that there was a South Park episode, I was like, I didn't tweet it. I didn't tell anyone because I was nervous. I thought they were just going to like shit on him. And oh, sorry. Can I say that?
Yeah. Yeah. No,
you can say it. Okay. We're on the radio, you know. This is 2016. There is no radio.
No, we've
it's the Wild West.
Yeah,
out here.
We've got some pretty explicit episodes.
Okay, good. Well, fuck it then.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't tweet it. I didn't really tell anyone, even like my friends. Like I had like a couple close friends where I was like, oh, I heard that this episode tonight is gonna be about my dad. So I sat there like home alone by myself watching it, and it was kind of this like I was laughing my ass off, but also like really touched that he like made it, like his life impacted the pop culture that much.
Yeah.
And it kind of like hit me more at that point, I think. And then there was this little like, just like the epilogue of the story is that the next morning, like MJ in the morning called me and I was on the radio and they were like, what did you think of this? Like, and I was like, just, man, it was fucking awesome. Like, what can I say? And, you know, TMZ ran the story of Billy May's son approves of, you know, and it was this thing. So later on, I found out that on the commentary of that episode from Trey Parker and Matt Stone, like they were talking about how like a lot of the families of the dead celebrities were like not cool with him or kind of offended, but they were like, well, but Billy Mays' son was cool with it. So that's all. So I want to meet them one day and just like kind of close that circle. And
I mean, they should at least give you Book of Mormon tickets, I feel.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But that's really cool. I mean, I didn't know your dad personally, obviously, but I feel like he would have been cool with something like that.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was pretty good about, you know, poking fun at himself.
He was, yeah.
I think one of my favorite things maybe that I've ever seen is when your dad ordered, I think it was like McDonald's or Burger King or something.
McDonald's.
McDonald's. He ordered from the drive-through.
Yeah. He did that for MJ, for the MJ Morning
Show. Oh, for
MJ
Morning Show. Yeah. And
his Bentley.
Yeah.
They brought a camera and took him through the drive-thru, and he was just like, yeah, I'll do it. At that time, he was just like having fun.
That was hilarious. And I think whoever took the order like kind of caught on pretty quickly.
Yeah, and they played along with it a little bit. They were totally cool.
I mean, you get up to the window and he's saying, Billy Mays here, I'd like sausage McMuffin, but wait, there's more.
Yeah.
You know?
he was really like in on the joke a lot.
Yeah.
Especially in the last like year or two of his life when it like hit this meta place that wasn't so much just infomercials where like he could do other appearances and he got on like the Tonight Show and stuff. And he had the reality show Pitchmen on Discovery Channel.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So he saw where it was going.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know this, but before he died, he was, he had signed the deal to do a series of infomercials for Taco Bell, like parody infomercials
for Taco Bell.
And it was like a huge deal.
Oh,
and they were about to start shooting them like a couple months after he died.
That would have been crazy,
but you know, you could see it was going in a direction that was more meta rather than being a salesman.
He was like a meme before memes existed.
Yeah,
you know?
He, for sure. Yeah, he was like, he's like one of those memes. He still is. I have a site, billymays.org, and a Facebook page and stuff, and a Tumblr where I collect all that stuff that I find.
Yeah,
and just
a lot of fan art.
A lot of memes. And I post like some behind the scenes photos that I find that people send me.
Cool.
All kinds of stuff, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But you didn't go in the direction of your dad. You didn't want to be a pitchman?
Man, this is like something I'm like wrestling with lately is that how after he died, there was this kind of half joke of like, oh, are you going to step in? And, I actually had some serious offers
around the time. Did you really? Was OxyClean calling you?
Not necessarily OxyClean.
Okay.
But there was like a thing in the air where it was like you could kind of do it. And I did a thing. I was young too. I felt really young when he died. It was like, I was like 22, I think.
Yeah.
23. And I felt like if he had died like this year, I probably would be a pitchman. I'd be the OxyClean guy right now. You know?
Yeah.
But so when he died, there was this thing in the air of like, are you going to step in and, you know, take over? And I was just like, no, I'm a musician. Like, I'm not in that world. Even though behind the scenes, I still to this day work in TV production sometimes.
Oh,
so
cool.
For commercials and infomercials occasionally.
Yeah.
And at the time I was too. But I was always just like, no, I'm not a pitchman. I'm an artist, you know?
Yeah.
And then now, 7 years later, I have all these projects. I kind of have this like tribute world to him that I have a bigger vision for in like the nonprofit side of things.
Really?
To kind of like pay tribute to him through philanthropy and stuff.
Yeah.
But now I totally feel like a pitchman. Like I'm talking.
Well,
I'm,
you
like,
gotta be.
Yeah,
I'm
pitching my music. I'm pitching my projects to people. I'm the voice of something, and even if it's just the voice of myself, what I do, like I'm definitely like an external. I'm a pitchman. I'm a son of a pitchman. You know. It's in my blood to be that. So I just kind of stepped into it more.
And was there like a specific piece of advice or pitchman essence your dad told you about? Or
oh man,
is there a secret to it?
There's some just like unexplainable things that I've picked up just in persuasiveness, I feel like, that I just I kind of have in me a little bit. Maybe not even just from him. Maybe just that's just my way. But a lot of life lessons came from my dad because he was, for 20 years, he was a pitchman on like boardwalks and stuff. And he was just like a working pitchman.
Oh,
like,
and that's
like a
how
carny.
He
was a carny.
Oh,
and
wow.
he would go from town to town pitching products to people and just barking, you know, yell, pitching. That's where he got his pitch style from, was from these boardwalk like legends. And it was also kind of a dying art as he was learning it, because it's not that big a thing anymore with the internet and
people
stuff.
People don't really
TV.
Hang out at the boardwalk.
Yeah, it's not the same. Yeah. Well, home shows, home and garden shows
sure,
as well.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So he took it to TV. Like he took that style to TV.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what OxyClean was. That's why it was like this big hit, was because he was actually pitching OxyClean in that setting, and then they said, we want to take it to Home Shopping Network and like just bring your style to them. And he would sell out every time because he brought something that was more live.
Yeah.
They would have to censor him when he would curse or something. You know, like it was totally huge ratings, like for home shopping. It's just home shopping.
Yeah.
They have like a very specific way of doing it. And he would just come in and like order the camera guy around and
before him, HSN didn't have any charisma. It was people
exactly.
standing there, well, this costs this much money.
Exactly.
Look at
that. Yeah,
and then people get someone screaming in their face about this product they have to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, no,
because
it
does so much good.
I've heard this, though, that he wasn't screaming; he was projecting.
Projecting. That was his thing.
Yeah,
you're correct.
Yeah,
but from a consumer standpoint, that like totally broke the mold. So
yeah,
why wouldn't they jump on board?
Totally.
And OxyClean is actually totally a cool product.
Yeah, it's actually a good product.
Yeah, and he perfected the pitch on Home Shopping and in person.
Uh-huh.
Then they made a 2-minute spot out of it, which was kind of unheard of in infomercial world, like a direct response 2-minute spot.
Wow.
And it was a huge hit. And he did that with Anthony Sullivan, Sullivan Productions here in Tampa.
Right on, yeah.
So, you know, that was just like, he didn't become famous, or he didn't even get on TV until he was like 40, and he died when he was 50. So he had more struggle trying to be successful than he did that time where he like blew up all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he was kind of like flung into like some weird fame that there isn't much to compare it to, because there aren't many famous pitchmen. And he's kind of also just a normal dude.
Right.
So we travel together in the airports, and people would stop us all the time, get pictures. And I didn't really think he was that famous most of the time. I just be like, wow, like, holy shit, everyone recognizes you. Like, and then it slowly hit me over a couple of years. And then he's doing The Tonight Show.
You did Conan
talk
too.
Show, Conan, and that was actually The Tonight Show when Conan hosted it later.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
And that was 5 days before he died. Was when he was a guest on Conan, and he flew me out to that.
Right on.
Because I told him if he ever gets on Conan, like no questions, like I'm coming with you. And one day he called me. He's like, hey, we're going on Conan. Like I got you a ticket. Like and we flew out to LA, and oddly enough, that night on Conan and afterwards was the last night we all hung out. And then he flew a different way, went to New York to shoot. I came back to Tampa. And we had this amazing night, and then that was we got the news. He flew home, and then that night he died in his sleep. So he ended up in all these public appearances where he was used to, like, he was used to them, but not in this fashion where it's like sought after in a way. Like, so he would get nervous and stuff. But one thing I really took from him was like that it was good to be nervous.
Yeah.
Like he would always say, like, nerves are good. It like reminds you that you're alive, you know, it gets your blood pumping and stuff.
That's cool.
So I feel like I still say that to myself, like, when I'm on stage or when I'm about to do something that's like out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things.
That's totally right on, because Jason and I used to play in a band, but we haven't performed in a while, but I still got nervous every time before going on stage, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like you're right. That is good.
It's like what you're seeking, you know? It's like, it's what
Yeah.
people have like stage fright and like anxiety about it, but like there's a real positive to being scared of something. It signals growth.
I think it's one thing too when like you have, you know, music that's written and ready to go and you've rehearsed, mm-hmm. but I know you're also working on the Mouth Council.
Mouth Council, yeah.
Yeah. And so tell us a little bit about that, because that's like a total improv, like experimental thing. Yeah. That's got to be nerve-wracking.
Yeah. It's a Mouth Council. I call it spontaneous group vocal looping. So I have a
spontaneous group vocal looping.
Yeah. Wow. That's the best I've been able to distill it down into like a sentence so far. It's like on my business card and stuff. Like, because it's hard to explain until you see it anyway. So if you're listening, just go watch a video or something.
Yeah. But,
Mouth Council is like, we sit in a circle, and this is on stage. This is anywhere, anywhere that they'll let me set up. I invite strangers or whoever's down to sit in a circle with me. And I have this loop pedal. It's like a 5-channel looper made by Boss, where I can layer it and I can do all these effects and mix on the spot. And then I have a microphone going into it, and I'll basically start with like a beatbox thing or something rhythmic, and then I'll start passing the microphone around. It's like becomes this tribal experience where I just tell everyone like, do what you're feeling at the time. And I have my crew of people who have done it for years with me that they're just like masters of it by now.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's this workshop, exercise, performance, it's all these things. And I just like that I've been flipping what a performance is.
Yeah.
So I'll be on a show with a bunch of bands, and then all of a sudden I'll come up and do this thing that kind of bridges the gap between audience and performer.
Yeah. So you're like inviting the audience
totally,
up to make whatever sound they want.
Yeah. And it's I also tell them like, you can sit there and pass the mic and not do anything if you don't feel like it. Like I try to make it a safe space, you know?
Yeah. We're running out of those now that the theater is no longer a safe space. So.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But that's really cool. And where do you usually, is there a regular spot for Mouth Council?
One spot that it's kind of like grown up in is this place called The Loft in St. Pete on Central. Wove Print Co. It's their house and their office and their warehouse and everything, and they open it up every final Friday pretty much to they host a band or two, and then it's become the thing where like I'll start the night off with Mouth Council.
Sweet.
And then in between acts I'll do Mouth Council, and we have this huge circle of people, and it's like it's where I feel the most comfortable in it, because they've just trusted me to go wild and like really mix the shit out of it and, make it these weird ass compositions.
That's awesome. Do you ever record any of this?
Yeah, well that's my current path with it. It's like I do them all the time, mm-hmm. and I usually just delete them from the pedal. It's like it's a zen thing, like did it here, it's for us. When I can, I record it, or someone takes a video or whatever. But currently I have like a small production team that we're kind of developing this like documentary format for it,
mm-hmm.
so it's like going to a band or a, you know, someone like an artist of some kind, going to their space, filming it, talking to them, but sitting in a circle, doing Mouth Council, and then like in between songs, talking about creativity and cutting it together in like a short form. Like, here's insights about the artist and their process, and then here's them like just having fun and improvising.
Right.
So we've shot one so far. We shot like the pilot, but we're not releasing it yet. For now, I'm just capturing what I can, and there's a few good videos online.
That's awesome.
But yeah, that's my focus right now, is like, how can I like translate this into like something that's not just for the people in the circle? And one way that I really want to explore is having a 360 camera in the middle, so that you can just watch, you can like look around the circle. Yeah. So you're sitting in the center of it.
I feel like it'd be perfect for like VR too.
Yeah.
There's a couple groups out, you know, in like the West Coast, but I know in San Francisco, there's
it's
a group
huge there,
that's like putting together these like VR music videos.
Yeah.
And it's not very expensive to do either, you know, if you have the right kind of gear and the right setup for it.
I have a friend, I should give him a shout out right now. Cameron Gray, he's a rapper, Grey. If you search him on YouTube, you'll find his 360 video that he shot in San Francisco.
There you go.
With one of these like, you know, VR companies. And they're kind of like trying to figure out like what the like the standards for storytelling will be.
Yeah.
With it's such a broad thing, because you're there's no point of reference.
Right.
So he made this 360 video that is more like theater, and you're following it around the 360 thing. And it's a really good experiment, and they develop some like terms and some some techniques out of that, and he's working on more, and they're really focused on that, because it's kind of like, from what I can tell, all these VR headsets, and they're about to be in everyone's home.
Right.
It's becoming consumer level, Oculus Rift and everything.
Yeah, I feel like literally every major tech company is making their own version of the VR headset, except for Apple, who will come in like 3 years with the better one that everybody will
buy.
Totally,
hopefully. I don't know.
They're coming out of routers, man. Fuck those people.
Yeah. But yeah, it's happening. Like, there's not enough content for it. The people that have them right now have the headsets, don't have that much content to choose from, so why don't we
make them some more content?
I think Samsung's investing like $1 billion in content right now, so
yeah,
I want to get on some of that.
get in that $1 billion gravy train. Right on. You're not just a musician though, so you also do like directing, and you said video production and stuff too, or just kind of
Renaissance
man.
I'm so like reluctant to talk about everything sometimes, because it's like, how do you have time to focus on this? And the fact is that I don't. Each thing that I do has its like flow. So like, if I were only doing mouth counsel, I'd like get burned out on it, and it wouldn't be like as natural. I'd maybe rush it to getting out there. So they're all, I look at it as like these waves where I have my infinite third thing, which I've been doing the longest, and I just went on tour for that. But after that tour, I was like, all right, let's take a break. Infinite third, like, let's focus more on mouth counsel. And I have another project, which I won't even go into, but I'm excited about it. It's called Memory Code, and it's like more folk with my partner, Annalise.
Sweet.
So musically, I have to juggle like what I'm actually focused on. Mouth counsel is great because I can just show up with a briefcase and never have to be prepared with like a song.
Yeah.
It materializes on the spot. I have this thing called Remember You Are Dreaming, which is kind of a content channel. If you go to rememberyouaredreaming.com, we make videos, and it's kind of a collective effort, really loose collective, local and non-local, of just like people making surreal, weird music, art, content. And there's a YouTube channel. That's one of my more like broad focuses, I'd say.
So in many ways, you are a content creator.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's a good way to put it. I should just say, I'm content with making content.
You're exploring the entirety of your creative nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes it sound so, like, elegant. I feel like
that's Jason's forte, man. Yeah. His elegance.
Damn.
So of all of the creative things that you do, is there a certain project that you would consider to be your favorite, even though you visit each one kind of cyclically? If you had to sit down with any instrument at any given time, which one would you be most comfortable with, or what would you be most comfortable creating? So if you were just throwing a room with whatever the hell you wanted, what would you do?
I mean that'd have to be mouth counsel, just because it's like infinitely expansive, and I never get sick of it, and it's like once I get too comfortable and like I'll start with this rhythm, and then everyone that does it multiple times comes to this moment where they realize, shit, I do the same thing every time I get the mic, just like a little bit different. So I'm like, yeah, you got to break out of that. Like, I have to break out of my beatbox like go-tos sometimes, but that's it itself is like, it's like it challenges. It's challenging. It's like as easy as it is, it's also can be challenging if you treat it like a almost like a martial art or something, you know, like a creative exercise. So that one has like the most value all across the board. I can get content out of it. I can produce out of it. I get to be a performer.
Yeah,
out
you get
of
to
it.
Be creative with
and
it.
And I also get like, I also can just take it anywhere. I don't know if I'm annoying in this way, but sometimes when I show up to a place, like, I have the stuff in the car, and if it looks like, hey, this could use some mouth counsel, I'll be like, hey, do you guys want to do mouth counsel? You're like, fuck yeah.
We could probably use mouth counsel.
Yeah, right?
Shit.
Like, I was like, man, we could just set it up at this table right now, and that could totally happen, but
yeah,
it's
all right. We'll make you beatbox at the end. You can beatbox.
We could do an analog one where we're like, I'll beatbox, you guys just make a sound, you know?
There's a loop pedal somewhere on Logic.
There are.
So mouth counsel is your thing, you know, but you also have been working on Infinite Third.
I have to say the Infinite Third is like the most prolific, and it's so personal. No one else is involved in that. I do solo guitar looping. Like, I go on stage and it's like it's like mouth counsel with like all my personalities, like with myself a million times, you know, like that's more what that is.
Yeah. And it really sounds like it's like experimental guitar leaping, like almost electronic guitar music.
Ambient music. You know? I make a lot of different types of albums over the years, but the live set I've been developing is kind of like a cathartic thing. Hmm. Like one long song that builds and builds and builds. And I have huge plans for where that's going to go. It's just, like I said, there's a season for Infinite Third, and it's not this moment. It's like now it's like Mouth Counsel and Remember You're Dreaming.
That's awesome, you know, because I feel like so many people would just push through and like the whatever the thing that they're doing is, even if it's not the most creatively pleasing or cleansing thing to do at the time, you know?
Yeah. I've battled with it because it's like, man, what if I just focused on one and dropped the other ones for a while? And every time I do that, I'm just like, it doesn't feel authentic to me. It feels like these are all different aspects of what I do. And a lot of them can be like related. So like Remember Your Dreaming is like kind of an umbrella thing where Infinite Third things happen through Remember Your Dreaming. And so do Mouth Counsel things. And I just, in my mind, it's like what Mouth Counsel is, where like I'm the guy that's taking everyone's sound and then like making it coherent for everyone to hear as a song. Remember Your Dreaming is that as well. I'm like the content director. So I have my greater community of artists and so many talented people that I meet all the time. And I basically invite them to make something out of this, like Remember Your Dreaming, like kind of meme that I've created that. So in a way I'm like kind of mixing that everyone's expression in that way and then presenting it. So I get all philosophical about it.
No, I'm totally hit, man. That's right on. And are these mostly artists and other people like in the St. Pete area or?
A lot of them, yeah. I have a friend named Zach in Wood Army who we just released a video of his where he does a spoken word poem called Remember You're Dreaming. Mm-hmm. And he shot it in Detroit and then sent it to me. And I like spruced it up with some little subliminal messages and stuff like that. And it's one of the most shared videos we have right now on Facebook. So I look for like that kind of like effortless flow of content. Like if someone has an idea that they can just do on their own or just with minimal help, like just tomorrow I'm shooting with DN Saint, local rap duo from St. Pete, but they perform with a full band. But I was like, man, when they do spoken word, it's like super powerful. So we're going to this empty house tomorrow and I'm shooting it myself. They're going to do a spoken word version of one of their songs and that'll be the next Remember Your Dreaming video. So I look for that like easy thing. I don't need a whole crew. I'll get the good audio. You know, like I'm at least like adept enough to get that made, you know, but I get help from the community too, as far as camera and all that. So it's just a matter of like who's down, you know, like this isn't like a money thing, you know, so there isn't a lot of budget all the time, but I mean, I don't see why there won't be one day. Like there's more money than ever. I'm selling shirts and, you know, the branding and stuff. So who knows, one day there might be some investment and stuff. We're just trying to do what we can right now with what we have.
Well, that's the way to do it. I mean, we think the same way with our podcast. It's like, you know, the key is to create good content and make good stuff that people want to listen to and people want to see.
Yeah.
You know, and then from there figure out how to monetize it.
Do you have any sponsors?
We're talking. We're talking.
Oh, okay. So nobody you want to mention right now?
Yeah, no, nobody that we're legally able to mention yet. But we do record here in the Blind Tiger.
Oh, there's one Blind Tiger.
Yeah, so shout out to them.
Always shout out to Blind Tiger.
Yeah. So we're learning about the many hats that you wear, you know, but it seems like it all sort of comes back to your original identity, I guess, you know,
which
is Billy Mays III.
Yeah.
You know? And that seems to be an easier way to kind of market yourself out there rather than, you know, you got Infinite Third and Mouth Counsel and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So do you ever feel like a responsibility to that name? You know, the fact that, I mean, if you were like Ernie Mays, you know, it wouldn't be as strong.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, my dad was really like specific about carrying on the name and just kind of like, he would introduce me to people as like, this is little Billy, you know, like when I was little and like, I just kind of, he was proud that he just like, I feel like maybe I'm like, I'm one of the good things that he like really did in his life that wasn't like business and career. Like, and before he died, I was like his unofficial before he never actually had like a publicist even the day he died. But like, I was the closest thing to it. I was like managing his Twitter.
Yeah.
And I was like, Dad, we need to jump on this. Like, you know, like I was more in touch and he like didn't even know how to use his BlackBerry.
Yeah.
You know? So I even in our house, I would like record some of his voiceovers for commercials. So like, sweet. We were building this like really cool like work relationship
yeah.
that we never really got to get down to. But in that way, I feel like it's my responsibility, this BillyMays.org thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's just a fun thing. It's a, I call it like a digital museum.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously like my family likes it and people who loved my dad like it. But I kind of just want to preserve like all this transient stuff that's happening in the, on the internet and just kind of like make it be like the central hub
yeah.
for like Billy Mays related things. And in that sense, like what I want to build it into is like an official, like definitive archive of everything he did.
Yeah.
So like every commercial he made will be there in HD, every talk show appearance, every promo photo, you know, anything that there is. Like I'm slowly collecting all these things. In that regard, like I don't want to just dwell on like the past. I want to kind of like preserve his image as a pitchman. Like that's what he was. Mm-hmm. But I feel like now that he's gone and he's a bigger idea now. He's like an energy. Yeah. So I don't really want to direct it at like gadgets. Like when he was alive, that's just what he happened to do. I want to take my pitchness that we were talking about, like that
yeah.
unique pitchman voice. I'm not a pitchman, but I'm like, but I'm a pitchman. You know, I want to take that energy and like that persuasive pitch energy, and instead of pitching like gadgets and cleaning products, I want to pitch ideas like nonprofit ideas and people's causes.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like some causes that I work with sometimes just in my other work. I want to take things like all these paintings that get made of my dad, like auction those off and direct all of it to a cause each time. So that's my bigger plan. I don't talk about it that much, but at the same time, like it's just been bubbling for years and
yeah.
I just like everything else, I don't rush it. Cause if I would have jumped on this 5 years ago, it wouldn't have been as strong. Like I let it become like a solid platform of an idea before I really move on it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then you gotta, it's all about trying to find the right timing and the right yeah. time to execute yeah. on that.
And now, you know, it's a funny thing. My dad is like, I want to pay tribute tastefully, but I want it to be more than just like silliness. I want it to like be about something.
Yeah. Carry yeah. on a legacy in your own way.
Yeah, totally.
You told us a lot about, you know, who you are and, yeah. and what you're doing. And it's all really, it's just, you seem like somebody that really likes art, you know,
yeah.
for the sake of creating and being creative, mm-hmm. you know. Where do you think that comes from?
I think it's just like an interest. And then the only thing I can really attribute it to is like my mom being supportive of that interest.
Yeah.
And like liking everything I do no matter what. So I always had someone that was a fan and yeah. still do. And she's like, sometimes it's like embarrassing where I post like a song or something and like, my mom's the only one that liked it so far, and it's, you know,
yeah.
which happens a lot. But I would attribute a lot of it to that. Is like
that's awesome
encouragement. So yeah. I try to pass that along to like if someone's just like, oh, I'm trying to sing, or and like you can see when people are like talented, you know, like
yeah.
they have some kind of itch to do that, and I just like to encourage it. And remember, you're dreaming, and mouth counts are ways that I do that. It's like, let's just do something, you know, like no pressure. This isn't your big, like coming out of like as an artist. This could just be like one piece of art you make, whatever that means to you and me. So,
yeah. And there needs to be more things like that where people can just sort of explore, mm-hmm. you know, what it means to make art without any, you know, yeah. sort of reservations or judgments.
As NWA said, express yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly.
all it's all about.
Before you wreck yourself. No, that's not it. Yeah.
If you want to be like
the great prophets, NWA. Yeah.
Yeah.
The great philosophers. So final thing, I heard Infinite Third, you are now giving out your music yeah. for free until the inauguration. Is that the plan?
Yeah, that was kind of a response to that whole... the whole Trump week. I don't know what we call that. And like, if we look back on that as like a sad moment.
Yeah. I wonder what people are going to call it.
I don't know.
Like,
I'm just like, all of us had to have gotten caught up in some way with like the media and stuff and the press around it. And I just noticed everyone was so obviously stressed and for good reason.
Yeah,
a lot of people that I know are like yeah. legitimately scared.
Yeah.
For like what rights they're going to have. And like, man, I don't even know what I can do. Like I just try to speak up a little bit, but I was just sitting there. I was actually listening to my own music. Mm-hmm. My newest album, Ambient Self. I fall asleep to it sometimes. Cause like, I don't know. It just, it, it feels like comfortable. So it's very chill. I was doing that, and I was like, and I have a Bandcamp page that has my whole discography, which is like right now publicly like 16 releases. A lot of them are straight ambient meditative things, and some of them are more instrumental. And I just decided that I don't think it's that big of a deal. I was just like, I'm just gonna open this up. Like if you download music, just take it for free from my website. Like there's no $5, $3 like window for it anymore. It's just, and when I did that, I was surprised because I didn't know how many people were actually going to try to download, but hundreds of downloads, like people downloading, mixing and matching, like, oh, I never got that one, so I'll grab that. And so that was nice to see. And then obviously I have a lot of stuff on Apple Music anyway, like free streaming and Spotify and iTunes and all that. So it wasn't like that big of a, like decision to have to make, but I was like, okay, maybe that'll help someone. Yeah.
I guess it was Ray Roa from Creative Loafing that
thanks,
made
Obama.
Made it bigger. Yeah.
No, like, and I'm glad I love Ray, man. So like I really appreciate that he took it and made it like a thing, because that really made me more intentional about it. Like I guess this is my little contribution to like the mental health of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it only speaks to a few people, but I'm sure and from the feedback I get, there are these people that are just like, this is what I needed. So That's what I'm going for.
Well, that's great.
Especially with Infinite Third.
Well, then if you're not quite sure what you need in this post-Trump world, go ahead and check out Infinite Third online.
Music.infinitethird.com is the place we're talking about.
There you go. Get over there. Download all the music for free while you can. Yeah. While you can.
I mean, who knows? I may just keep it. We may need it more once the inauguration happens. So really, and I present it in a way like I'm just going to miss Obama.
Billy Mays here for Cigar City Radio.